The following program is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and NPR, National Public Radio.
From Boston, says you. A game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy. Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you from the Skywalk, high atop the Prudential Center in the middle of Old Back Bay. Welcome to Says You, our simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Journalist, philosopher, bon vivant, Tony Khan. Producer, writer, femme fatale, Francine Akbar. And television host, performer, respondez s'il vous plaît, for Mr. Barry Nolan. Led into battle by?
The bon vivant himself.
Yes. Yo, blood, it is I.
Mr. Khan, will captain. To my left, team two, from CBS Boston, she's the cat's meow, Paula Lyons. Columnist, critic, she's the bee's knees, Carolyn Faye Fox. And documentarian, raconteur, he's the absolute living end, Mr. Arnie Reisman. Captained by?
I will be the captain.
Miss Fox will captain. Our game is played in five rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. And we always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. For 5 points, define, and for an additional five, divine, the derivations of the following words and phrases. Carolyn, slipshod.
Slipshod means if you do a slipshod job of something, you're doing it sloppily and carelessly.
That's the definition.
So does this have something to do with shoeing horses, this slipshod business?
Sloppy feet. Sloppy feet. It's when you're wearing ill-fitting shoes and you slip around because you're poorly shod, you slip in the sod.
Well, it's actually because
you look like a clod.
Yeah.
Stop her.
I'll give you 9 points for that. Good effort. It's actually...
Not horses?
You're wearing slippers.
Slippers?
Yes, in 16th century England, appearing on the street in your house slippers meant you were hastily and carelessly put together. You were slip
Or you were coming out of the wrong house.
Coming out of the wrong house. Tony.
Yes.
Joyriding.
A joyride is a putting yourself sort of like in a rapid horizontal direction for the hell of it, just to go off for the sheer pleasure of being in motion. As my father applied it to me, though, it meant doing anything that didn't involve homework. You know,
yeah.
It was very...
That's the definition.
Yeah,
yes,
it was derogatory. It meant you're wasting your time doing something when you could be more purposefully engaged.
Do you have any idea of the derivation?
A joyride, other than the fact that that's what it provides.
Are we going back to the 56 Chevy?
Well, that's...
Two-tones?
That's when it became really popular, when people would joyride in automobiles and...
Would it be related in any way to a time when gas was scarce?
No, that's not the key. Any help from the other side?
I just thought it was the same thing.
Any thoughts
from the
audience?
Just getting in the car and going?
No, from the front row, airplanes.
Airplanes.
Back in the early barnstorming days.
Ah, very good, sir.
Pilots made their living by selling joy rides in their airplanes.
Oh,
that's where it comes from.
Ooh, great. Fascinating.
Right. We got a new
one.
Right. Gee, you forget something every day.
Yeah. 7 points seems to be the audience consensus on that one. Arnie, yellow journalism.
Right person.
Isn't that when instead of picking up the newspaper, the dog has a little axe on?
Stop it now.
It means sensationalizing the news.
It does. And
it comes from a cartoon that was drawn initially by Richard Outcault called The Yellow Kid. And if you want to know the rest of the story, it was originally, and I can't remember which paper it was in, one of them belonged to Pulitzer and the other paper was Hearst, and they stole the cartoon back and forth from one another and had...
Totally disgusting. 10 points.
Don't you need more detail to get the points
on this?
Would you stop generalizing, Arnie?
Yeah,
really, you know.
I've heard enough, frankly. Okay. He's exactly right.
Yeah.
stuff.
When the first newspaper comic strip, The Yellow Kid, yeah. referring to his trademark sweater, started appearing in yellow ink and in competing newspapers owned by Hearst and Pulitzer, they yeah. were called the Yellow Kid Journals.
And they kept buying the cartoon back and forth, stealing it, actually.
They actually did. Very good, Arn. Francine, Mad Money.
What? Mad Money.
Well, it is for fun spending.
It is, in fact.
At which some members of my family succeed so well. Where it comes from, mad money.
Didn't it also have the use of the thing which, back in the days when men paid for...
Everything.
Paid for the evening that they
yes.
would have together.
Yes.
That a woman would reserve... The right to have
money.
A little freedom should she find this she guy's company
to split.
Totally objectionable. Yeah, right.
10 points. Hey, very good. Good. Ooh.
So
very
are you
good.
Saying it was mad in the sense of going off angry?
Yes, it was.
Not mad in the sense of having some fun?
Nope, it is from the early 1920s, and that's exactly
Ditch
right.
Ditch this guy.
It is generally an amount right. reserved for frivolous spending, but it was originally a small amount of money a young woman would take on a date yes. just in case things didn't
it
go so well.
It was for when you went Dutch, and the guy was Dutch Schultz. You wanted to get away as fast as possible.
I always had it on a date, which my mother always made sure we had it.
That's
all
right.
All the girls in the family.
In case you
had
mad.
Money to make a phone call or to get a taxi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Take a cab.
And there were a few girls in that family.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Paula, Goldbrick.
Goldbrick.
Oh, it's somebody who sloughs off on the job, is it?
Oh, that's right. It is somebody who sloughs off on the job. So where would the term come from, though, Goldbrick?
It is exactly someone who fakes working.
Fakes
that's
working.
The definition. So
someone
you've got 5 points
goldbrick,
there.
Because you would never use a Goldbrick?
I don't know what this is.
Goldbrick. Actually, Arne, you're not...
Yeah. Is that true? I mean, because you would never...
I know
it's
all
like
the other
it's
ones,
a kind
Richard.
Of brick that you would never use.
It's
so
decorative, but it doesn't work.
No, that's not it, actually.
It's not World War II origin?
No.
Is it...
Is it to do anything to do with unions and bricklayers?
Well, it goes back to about the 1890s when unions were just starting to rise, and it comes from a scam where lead bricks were given gold coatings.
Yeah. I'll sell you this gold brick for $500, and by the time you figure out that it's made of lead,
made
I'm
of
someplace
lead.
In Iowa.
Yeah. That's true.
Do we get some points here?
Yes, yeah. Give them 6 points for that. 6 points for that effort. And finally, Barry, soft pedal.
Soft pedal. Soft pedal is to sort of give a low profile to an element of the sales pitch or the presentation or the product.
Isn't there an element of soft pedaling something which doesn't particularly work well, and it's part of the sales pitch which kind of like misdirects the attention?
Well,
so
yes, it is to de-emphasize yeah. something
but
or communicate something.
Of course that car's never been in an
well,
accident.
It
yeah.
will not necessarily be, it may be an alarming element of something you have to, you
yeah.
know, you soft pedal the danger of parachuting when you sell the excitement of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Would it have anything to do with cars and the fact
that it does
that
not.
Not bad
cars.
Punches,
but
no.
if you were pedaling, if you were selling, it is the pedaling from the
no,
selling.
No, the pedal is actually P-E-D-A-L.
So
bicycles?
That would be the
not
pedal
bicycles.
Of a car?
No, it wouldn't. No,
tricycles?
The other side does know this.
Quadricycles?
The quadricycles.
Yeah,
no, it's
things
really,
we know it.
I think we have to go to the other side.
Well, just I don't
we
know
think
it,
it's
but
from
it has something to do with the piano pedal.
It has everything to do with
the
piano.
Tone
yeah.
of the note.
Oh, muting
right.
the tone.
Yes, the center pedal on a piano is the
soft pedal.
And that's what you use when you want to de-emphasize the music. Let's go on to round two, the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds, played with a little musical help from our friends, the Dactyls. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. Those poor souls will have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points here up for grabs to Tony if he can sniff out the truth, or to you, Carolyn, if you can fool him. A few seconds musically enhanced to come up with a definition for the word foozle. F-O-O-Z-L-E. Foozle. Gentlemen. Our challenge to listeners last week was to come up with a secondary definition for the word euphony. E-U-P-H-O-N-Y. While Tammy Helgert of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, suggested that euphony was the art of euthanizing an imaginary friend. Whoa. Chris from Nicosia, Cyprus, whoa, says euphony is the difference between men and women, obviously. But top marks go this week to E.B. Keck of Warwick, Rhode Island, who knew that Euphony was the local sheep corral with an E. Congratulations, E.B., a pup's coming down I-95. And by the way, the left pedal on the piano, not the center pedal, is the soft pedal. I really knew that. Thank you. The Dactyls. Messrs. Farrell, McGann, Eggleston, and Barnes. We've had a few moments with the word foozle. We will go first to Carolyn.
Foozle. Well, first I thought foozle had something to do with a bad hair day.
Yes.
Or that foozles might be laugh lines. A fun name for it. But foozle is sort of a case of forced fun, a good time gone bad, a party that goes flat. Foozle.
A party gone flat, just
force fed fun.
Is that a verb, to foozle?
I don't know.
Arnie, foozle.
Well, actually, it is a verb, and it's a term that's used in golf.
Golf.
And it basically alludes to ineptness or bad coordination or lack of coordination. He foozled that shot. To play without any sign of skill.
Foozling around the course. Paula, foozle.
Well, foozle is actually a noun. And it is what defines the hanging overlap of a dog's mouth. You know, like on a hound dog, that part that hangs down and moves in the breeze there.
Right.
So
right.
The foozle is the hanging overlap of a dog's mouth.
Flapping dewlap.
Kind of like dewlaps. Yeah, I was thinking
exactly, more like a dewlap.
A dog jowl, the old foozle. Grab that dog by the foozle and... It's either a dog jowl, golf ineptitude, or a party gone flat. What do you think?
These are really kind of good definitions, and they're equally unlikely.
Yes, they are.
Foozle, you know, as in fizzle, a good party gone bad, made me think maybe that's where
elephants
Carol
and foozles?
I think it's the party elephant. Actually, foozle sounds like a really bad Parker Brothers party game.
Right. I guess it's between the game and the golf thing. Guys, you have a preference?
I would be inclined to go to the golf.
I'd be voting for game, so it's up to you.
All right, I'll go with golf as the nominal leader of this group.
Arnie, they seem to think that foozle is golf ineptitude.
In fact, it means to bungle or play unskillfully, especially in golf.
Right. 10 points, very good.
Good.
Excellent job, Tony.
Good boy, Arnie. Good boy.
Sniffed that one right out. Let's go on to round three. R.A. Messinger from Tucson, Arizona, hears us on WXEL in Boynton Beach, Florida.
Okay.
He's got a ham radio. Yeah. It's incredible.
R.A. was intrigued by our round of cryptic city capitals. Oh, no. No, he wasn't. He was intrigued by cryptic capital cities and offers this version. From the convoluted clues, puns, and references, please tell me the world capital city I have in mind.
Well, aren't we out of world capitals yet?
Yeah.
There are many clues.
Ah.
Yeah. An example, that Cartwright boy is lagging, would be Haas Slow.
Haas Slow.
As in, boy.
Yes.
Carolyn, try this one. Multiply 'em by two.
Multiply 'em by two?
Yeah, M-U-L-T-I-P-L-Y-I-N apostrophe. Multiply 'em by two.
Oh, multiplying?
Yeah, multiply 'em by two.
Timbuktu?
Are we thinking Timbuktu? Timbuktu is not correct, but I love it.
Barry Nolan is dancing with his fingers.
Yes. The other side does
for,
know.
For our radio listeners, Barry is doing the wave with three separate parts of his body.
Yes, it's true. I guess they might not have picked up on this one anyhow. Go to the other side for...
Multiplying by two would be Dublin.
Dublin, yes, Dublin.
Oh, excellent.
I'm
going
to say Twin Cities.
Yes, I'm
going to
say Twin Cities.
That's a great capital.
Tony,
yes.
Barker's crummy old ship.
Barker's? What?
Barker or Parker?
Barker. B-A-R-K-E-R apostrophe S. Barker's crummy old ship.
Junk? Crummy old junk.
Ooh. Oh, the audience.
Junkarta.
Yeah. They might get some points for that.
Barker. Barker, as in Carnival Barker?
Barker's actually a proper noun here.
Barker.
It's a name, actually.
Skow.
That's
Moscow.
Moscow, yes. Moscow. Well, a lot of help there. Ma Barker. Ma's Skow.
Ma's.
It's Barker's crummy old chip.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
I feel like it's I just had something removed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
And that's we'll give you 8 points because there was a struggle to get there.
Okay.
Arnie, make Stan's partner stumble.
Make Stan's partner.
Stan's
so
partner, Laurel and Hardy?
Oliver. Ollie.
Ollie?
Ollie.
There you go.
So it's
Ollie.
Ollie.
Tripoli.
Tripoli. Very good.
10 points. Very good.
Good.
Tripoli.
Thank you. Great.
Trip Ollie. To make Stan's partner stumble is to trip Ollie.
Right.
Francine, Mr. Newton is familiar with vernal astrology.
Well, goody for him.
Yeah.
Isaac.
Mr. Right.
Newton. No,
right.
Not that Mr.
Don't,
Newton.
Not that Mr. Newton.
Familiar with
Mr.
Wayne.
Newton is
it's Wayne.
Familiar. No.
Wayne?
Wayne
Spring.
Is correct.
Wayne?
Spring?
Buenos Aires.
That's exactly right.
Good for you.
Mr. Newton is familiar with vernal astrology. Wayne knows Aries.
Barry, what part of your brain did you access for that answer?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I hasten to point out this is the contribution of R.A. Messinger of Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson, Arizona, who listens to radios in Florida.
Yeah.
Right.
Paula.
Oh, yeah.
That tome was held lovingly.
That T-O-M-E.
Tome yes.
Was held lovingly.
Book? Is book in
That's
there?
That's correct.
Book.
All
right. Lovingly. Book caress. Bucharest.
Bucharest.
Right. Bucharest. Very good.
Yeah.
Book caress. Bucharest. Very good. And finally, Barry, and this is nothing if not miserably unfair, Day's Middle Eastern Greeting. D-A-Y apostrophe S, Middle Eastern Greeting.
Something about shalom, right?
Salam.
Ooh. Or salam.
Ah. There you go.
Dar es salam.
Dar es salam. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. It is Doris, D-O-R-I-S, salam. Dar es salam.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Or Dar es salam. I can't believe you got that.
You
very
gave
good.
The easiest one.
But Carolyn, when Dar es salam is the easiest answer,
yeah.
It's been a tough round.
You know what show you're on.
Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word pulk. P-U-L-K. Pulk.
Former
gentlemen? Well, last week we told everyone our March 9th live performance of Says You, the Ides Idols, was sold out. And we got dozens of disappointed emailers shortly thereafter. Why not a second show, they asked. Well, if you're interested, sneak on over to sayu.org, that's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, and let us know. You'll follow a convoluted path to our email where you can tell us whether you'd like to come Sunday, March 9th, for an afternoon performance of Says You. The Dactyls, Mr. Frank Farrell, Mr. John McGann, Mr. Rashad Eggleston, and Mr. Peter Barnes. Thank you, gentlemen. We've had a little time with the word pulk, and we will go first to Tony.
Pulk is a term, well, it's a process. No, it's actually a product. For some people, a religious faith.
Yes.
It's actually an early chapter in the history of fermentation and alcoholism. It is a beverage made of fermented rye bread, milk, and sugar. A glass of pulk a day makes the world go away.
Fermented rye bread.
And milk and sugar.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
It's not, it can't ferment, obviously, without...
Nothing
you know.
Like a good glass of pulk at the end of the day. Francine?
Pulk, a mollusk found on the Dingle Peninsula in Ireland. And
like
anyone who knows Ireland, as I know Paula does, knows that the Dingle Peninsula is the farthest western point of Ireland, a very charming little area that juts out into the sea.
Where mollusks would just attach themselves? Is that the
exactly.
It's a dangling
I
mollusk.
I believe there's a pulk on
it's
your
a dangling mollusk.
A dingle mollusk. A dingle mollusk. I like that. Mm-hmm. Barry, pulk.
I'm actually surprised we could use this word because I thought it would be so familiar to everybody because it appeared so widely in Ralph Nader's campaign poem.
Ah.
You may recall, the acid rain, it makes me sulk. The toxic waste, it lies in bulk. The runoff makes the lake a pulk. A pulk is a muddy pond.
A muddy pond.
A muddy pond.
Ooh.
I like that one, Barry. Yes. That one's good.
Well, I certainly the sentimental favorite is the muddy pond, but you also have a dingling mollusk and a glass of pulk to consider over there.
All right.
What do you think?
I think Tony talks about fermented beverages a little bit too much.
Call me a happy guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's a mollusk either. It sounds like periwinkle
or pollock.
Well,
it's very specific to ever see anything on a card in this show that said off the Dingle Peninsula.
Well, she could be making up the Dingle Peninsula part, but I've not heard of a
faking
pulk.
A dingle? I
faking a dingle.
Can't believe it.
I actually thought it was an acronym for Please Use Less Kleenex, but I don't know. What
I think it's fewer Kleenexes.
Yeah, fewer Kleenexes.
You
probably
can count them.
More grammatically correct.
Yeah. Paula, do you?
I don't really know. I'm trying to think about whether pulk could possibly be a mollusk.
We need some closure.
All right, muddy pond.
But I think muddy pond.
I think muddy pond.
Boy, it's unanimous, Barry. They all seem to think that a pulk is a muddy pond.
Well, that just puts a pulk on my dingle because it's a muddy pond.
Yes.
Good point.
Nice poem, though. Nice poem.
It is getting awfully hard to fool these folks anymore. Very good.
For those listeners, though, who'd like a recipe for the Russian for the Russian drink kvass, that is exactly how you make kvass. Yeah.
Let's finish up today with a little academic stroll through the encyclopedia. Please answer the following questions gleaned from a random harvest. Carolyn, from the letter M,
mm-hmm.
What is the Montessori system?
It is a system of education.
It is?
Whereby children are taught in a particular way according to the teachings of Maria Montessori.
Yeah, care to elaborate?
It's based pretty much on individual attention and manipulating things, learning by doing.
It is exactly that. Very
excellent.
Good. 10 points. It is a philosophy of education which emphasizes individual initiative, self-direction, and motivation, and self-education. Named for Maria Montessori. Very good. Tony,
mm-hmm.
From the letter J, what is a grand jeté?
Oh.
A grand jeté is...
It's a ballet move.
It's a kick where you splay, as in a jeté, you splay the...
It is a kick where you splay.
Go out like that.
I believe it's the one where you jump up and you go whoop 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 with your feet.
Yes, for the radio audience, that was a scissoring move.
No,
right.
Isn't that what... I think we just go and you do a split almost in the...
It's exactly that. It is in ballet, a broad high leap with one leg stretched forward and the other back like a split in the air.
Right.
It's not a scissoring movement,
no.
It's a split. Arnie, from the letter T, what can you tell us about Harriet Tubman?
Well, she was a woman in the 19th century who helped slaves leave their slave condition and go into the freedom areas of the country.
She did indeed.
Through the system.
Through a network that was called the Underground Railway. Which
absolutely.
Wasn't she a freed slave herself?
She was,
yes.
In fact, a freed slave.
Yeah, just like Frederick Douglass.
That's a long way there. 10 points. Very good.
She also went back into the South some herself.
She
to
did.
Crossed
she
the line
yeah.
back
she
and forth.
Oh, she did.
She
came from the eastern shore of Maryland. She escaped in 1849 along the Underground Railroad, the network of safe houses secretly smuggling slaves north. She is called the Moses of her people, and she became one of the most active conductors in the movement, ushering more than 300 slaves north.
Yep.
She made it work. Francine, from the letter B, why might those at sea pay attention to the Beaufort scale? B-E-A-U-F-O-R-T, the Beaufort scale.
That's the storm scale.
Is that the storm scale?
It is the storm scale. It is, in fact,
isn't
the
storm.
That tells you how bad, how hard the wind is blowing in a gale. For instance, on the Beaufort scale, if it's a gale force, you know, 7 or whatever it is, it means kiss your boat goodbye.
10 points, yes. It's the Beaufort scale.
Wow. Scuttle your butt.
Yes.
It is why we know hurricanes are different from gales, are different from storms, are different from breezes, etc. That's the Beaufort scale. Hmm.
Thank
Paula,
you, Barry. Yes, sir.
From the letter O, what might be the claim to fame of Elijah Graves Otis, O-T-I-S?
Elevators.
We have some of his.
Yeah.
Oh, he's an elevator man. Oh, sure.
Otis Elevators.
He is, in fact, but I'm not going to let you get away.
Elijah Graves Otis. He made them go up and down.
He created the motor. There were elevators in the time of Otis. All right.
But he's distinctive in one regard.
He gave them buttons. He gave them buttons.
He enclosed them.
He made it a paying job.
He enclosed them, built the first skyscraper.
Well, skyscrapers have an awful lot to do with this, yes.
All right, so he made them go up further. Cables?
That's the way to go.
He created the cable system that actually can take it up a certain height that couldn't go before?
No, that is not it. I'm going to give you six points for your effort and go to the other side for some
help.
He figured out the safety element.
That's right.
What is a safety element? Elevators have a safety element?
Yes.
Yeah, call a stairway.
You'll be happy to know that an elevator carriage nowadays will not plummet to earth if the rope or hoisting chain snaps. And that's the result of the work of Elijah Graves Otis.
How can you be so sure?
But he invented the safety elevator. I mean, before that, getting into an elevator was a dicey bit of business.
It was joyriding.
It was, in fact, you know, not a good thing.
Without a plane, right?
But he literally is said to have set off the skyscraper craze in New York City, because once people knew they were not going to plummet to their deaths, they were not afraid to make taller buildings. Barry, from the letter F, what can you tell us about the Fertile Crescent?
The Fertile Crescent is that area of land that lies between the Tigris and Euphrates River that I gather is in modern-day Iraq.
Yes.
That was on a regular basis flooded, and the silt from that flood caused that area of land to be very fertile and a great place to grow land, grow crops.
And to grow civilizations, exactly.
Yeah. It is a crescent-shaped area actually extending north from the Persian Gulf in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. But it actually then curves over to the Mediterranean, comes down modern-day Israel, down into the Nile Delta, and it became known as the cradle of civilization. Very good. Making the final score, 86 to 81 in favor of Mr. Khan's team. Tony, congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks to our friends at the top of the hub for making things so enjoyable. Schur and Salkind are the writers. Our associate producer is Gary Mott. Robin Moore and Fernando Ruiz faithfully record. Once every few weeks, we get to remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. See you all next week.
Says You is the co-creation of WGBH Radio and Pippin and Finch, Boston. Funding for Says You is provided by this and other NPR member stations and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, making grants to improve the health and health care of all Americans on the web at rwjf.org. The Pew Charitable Trusts, investing in ideas, returning results. www.pewtrusts.com. The Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in individuals, their families, and their communities. On the web at www.wkkf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.